This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Scott Hodge, president of the Tax Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his analysis as the debate continues to increase over what should happen to the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts passed under President Bush. The issue has taken on additional oxygen since former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan thinks they all should expire. And Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet. Thanks for being with you.
First of all, let's explain why they're both happening right now. We know there's this Byrd rule, and I guess you can explain that for our listeners as well, that requires these things to expire unless Congress either makes them permanent or at least extends them. But they were passed 2 years apart. Why are they both set to expire at the end of this year?
Well, the initial 2001 Act was a 10-year act, and it was done so in a 10-year fashion because of the very complex Senate rules in particular that require various tax bills to be limited in their extent to 10 years unless they're able to get 60 votes. And so to make these very complicated rules much simpler, in order to pass them, pass the tax cuts with only 50 votes or 51 votes, they kept them to a limited 10 years, and so they sunset at the end of this year. And those tax cuts were actually phased in over a number of years. And in 2003, the Bush administration and Congress actually chose to accelerate the phase-in of those tax cuts and implement them immediately because they didn't feel that they were having quite the impact on the economy as they were hoped. And so in 2003, they went into full effect. But unfortunately, the length of time in which they were to be in effect was not extended with them. So everything's coming due in just 6 months. At the end of this year, we're really facing one of the most historic moments in the history of the tax system. And we've never really seen so much of the tax code expire so in one fell swoop and affect so many Americans all at the same time. It's really quite a remarkable time in history.
Well, we're talking with Scott Hodge of the Tax Foundation. And Scott, the argument used by former Chairman Greenspan, as well as others who are in favor of at least letting the tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans expire, is that we can't afford this hit to the deficit. They claim it'll be more than $2 trillion over the next decade that will be lost revenue as a result of these tax cuts potentially staying in place. However, a look at the deficits throughout the Bush administration showed that as the tax cuts were implemented, the deficits went down, except, of course, until we got to the financial crisis there with the whole Wall Street bailout and so forth.
The bottom line, Greg, is that the deficits are a spending problem, not a lack of revenue problem. Congress and the White House have been on a spending binge of unprecedented proportions. And even if we were to take 100% of the income taxed at the top income tax rates, it would hardly do anything to reduce the deficit over the next 10 years. This is a spending problem that has to be controlled on the spending side of the budget, and trying to grab more tax revenues is simply not going to fix the problem. And the damage that that would cause to the economy, I think, is unmeasurable. And irrespective of some of the demagoguery we hear about tax cuts for the rich, raising taxes right now on upper-income people would disproportionately hurt business owners and investors and innovators. And those are the people that we want to drive the economy and drive the economy back to health. And now hitting them with an enormous tax increase, I think, would have substantial harm to the economy and perhaps push us into a double-dip recession. And that's not the direction that we want to go.
Talk a little bit more about how this could affect businesses and jobs, because some small businesses, of course, file under that highest level of the personal income tax bracket. What kind of impact on jobs could we see based on history and the current conditions?
It could be quite substantial. In fact, more than half of all business income in the United States is taxed under the individual code because of the number of entrepreneurs and businesses that we have that file their business taxes through their individual tax return rather than a traditional corporate return. And so we have as many as 27 million businesses out there who file under these individual tax rules, and if we start raising their taxes right now, it's going to deprive them of the money that they need to hire and expand and grow. And that's just the opposite direction that we want to go with the economy being as fragile as it is today.
There was another aspect to the Bush tax cuts that a lot of people are talking about right now, Scott, because that's expected to come back and a real ferocious way if nothing changes at the beginning of next year, and that's the estate tax, also known by some as the death tax. It's steadily decreased over the past decade, and this year there is no estate tax, and so the heirs of folks like George Steinbrenner are in real good financial shape as a result of that. But next year it comes back with a vengeance. Explain what will happen if nothing's done, and what's likely to happen, if anything, from Congress on that front.
Well, we'll be going back to Clinton-era tax rules in which the estate tax, instead of being zero as it is today, will spring up to a 55% rate on estates over $1 million. And $1 million today isn't what $1 million was back when the estate tax were originally created. It doesn't take much for a business owner or a farmer or even someone with some pretty good investments to have an estate of over $1 million. And a 55% rate is really punitive, and it really is a matter of double taxation. Here is people who have built a business or farm or investments over a lifetime, and now when they die, their estate have to pay a 55% rate. It just simply isn't fair, and I think most Americans agree. Unfortunately, too many in Congress want to use this sort of punitive taxes for class warfare reasons rather than good economics.
But if so many people would fit into that million-dollar category when you add up all their assets, that might not be the politically smart thing to do. I know there was an effort to perhaps raise the ceiling and maybe lower the rate a little bit going forward, and of course there are some who would say that there shouldn't be an estate tax altogether because it's double taxation. So do you expect Congress to do nothing on this, maybe try and fix it next year? How do you expect this to play out?
Well, I quite frankly was surprised that they allowed it to expire in the first place, but there is a move afoot to perhaps reinstate the rules that were in place last year in 2009, which would have a higher rate, a threshold, and maybe a 3.5 to even some are suggesting a $10 million threshold in which the estate tax would apply, and they would lower the rate from 55%, say, down to something more reasonable like 40 or even 35%. I'm in the camp that I don't believe that there should be an estate tax. I do think it's punitive, and I do think it's double taxation, and I really think it's bad for the long-term health of the economy. Unfortunately, too many in Congress believe that it's a necessary for redistributing income or preventing the unequal distribution of wealth, and I just think that's a debate we need to have in America.
Scott, last question here in our final 60 seconds. What about middle-class taxpayers? Do they have much to worry about? The president has promised not to raise their taxes, but how big of a hit would they take if these are allowed to expire?
Well, a typical family of four earning, let's say a dual earner couple earning about $85,000 a year with two kids, if the tax cuts expire, they could be hit with a tax bill of almost $2,500 on January 1 of next year. So the tax expiration of the tax cuts could be substantial for middle income people, and I hope that Congress can get to work here and start to protect all taxpayers, not just those in the middle class, but everyone who's impacted by the Bush tax cuts.
Well, Scott, a lot of different tax debates happening right now. I'm sure we'll be back in touch soon. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.